Hello there, and thanks for joining me on the podcast. Sleep disorders, that's my topic. You know, you may be one of these people that have difficulty sleeping. You may go to bed, fall asleep, but then after about an hour, wake up, and then you can't fall asleep for hours. And you toss and turn and do all kinds of contortions, but can't sleep. Or maybe a person that goes to bed at any particular time, but just can't fall asleep for 2 or 3 hours, and just lie there and think and sing and talk and whatever else you might do, but you can't sleep. Or you may be a person that just wakes up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, and then can't go back to sleep. You know, when we think about sleep disorders, it's just not a matter of not sleeping. There are something like 86 different diagnoses that we have in the field of psychology and psychiatry and medicine for sleep problems. In other words, it's a complex issue, and there's all kinds of sleep problems, all under the rubric of what we call sleep disorders, or sometimes just referred to as insomnia. And you know, where people just can't go to sleep. It affects people at all ages, by the way, all ages. Listen to this study that was done a couple years back. It took a group of kids at first grade level, first graders. Now, that's about 6 years of age. And they took the kids that were in the 10th percentile. In other words, they were down at the bottom of the class in their grades. So they were not thriving kids whatsoever. So they did a study of these kids that were down at the bottom of the grade levels and found out that 20% of them had some type of sleep apnea or insomnia. So study was done. They offered to those 20% of the kids, they offered to them the possibility of having a sleep study and using the sleep apnea procedure. In other words, the mask that produces what is called a continuous positive airway pressure. And it's CAP, S-P-A-P is what we refer to that as. And it's a little mask that you sleep with. You put it on and you fall asleep and you sleep with it all night. It produces a continuous positive flow of oxygen and good air. And people who use that tend to fall asleep and improve their sleep patterns. So these kids were offered this particular procedure, and half of them accepted the offer, or I should say the parents of the kids accepted the offer, 20% of them. And you know what happened when they followed these kids over the next year? The kids that had the apnea apparatus, in other words, they went along with a program to improve their sleep, that half of the kids improved in their grades and in their performance and their learning the entire next year. On the other hand, the kids that did not participate in the study, they chose not to, did not improve in their studies and remained at the bottom of the list when it came to grades. So here we are, I have just six-year-olds, first graders, with sleep problems. But if you correct the sleep problems, their performance improves. And we find that with people of all ages and all backgrounds and all nationalities and all races and so on, and all ages. If you treat the insomnia, if you treat the sleep apnea, performance generally improves. And we encourage people who have a sleep problem to get into a program that they can learn how to sleep and do better in their daily performance, whether it be as a housewife, a mother, secretary, doctor, nurse, whatever it might be, so that their performance can improve. So we find that those that are treated for insomnia, in 7 days their productivity improves. In 7 days their productivity improves. So we see that we know that there can be an improvement. Now it will continue to improve, but we know that it improves right away. But using the number 7, let me give you another piece of data. What also happened is that if a person does not have treatment, does not engage in any kind of a treatment for their insomnia and let the insomnia go on and on and on, they will die sooner than those that receive treatment. And we know that the productivity of a person is equivalent to 7 days of absence at work. In other words, it's about a week, about 7 days of absence at work by people who have insomnia or sleep apnea. They lose that. So they're not very productive to the workforce. They cost the employer. They cost the workforce as a result of their insomnia. They'll die sooner, which means there's a cost to the family. And they enjoy life a little bit less, obviously, as a result of that. So sleep apnea is a major issue in our culture. Up to 16 people out of 100 have sleep apnea or insomnia of some form. So we're talking about a large number of people in our population. So if you're part of it, you're not alone. You know, there are about 16% of the population have what you have. They can't sleep at night. And their sleep varies in different ways, and their non-sleeping varies in different ways, and they're very frustrated people. You know, we used to think that if you just can't sleep, you got some other kind of a problem, like depression, or you have a severe bout of anxiety, and you can't sleep. Well, now that's true to some degree, but that's temporary. But for the people who cannot sleep night after night, week after week, and year after year, they have a sleep apnea or an insomnia problem. That's a problem in itself that needs to be addressed. And unfortunately, there are very, very few physicians, there are very few psychiatrists, there are very few psychologists that treat that kind of a disorder and know how to treat this kind of a disorder. So you're in it alone to a large extent. But do read. Read as much as you can on sleep apnea and learn ways in which you can improve yourself and overcome a major problem in your life of sleeplessness. Now, here's what a typical consultation looks like. If you were to come to a psychologist, say you can't sleep, and you outline this sleeping problem of insomnia and sleep apnea, you may be referred to a sleep clinic, which means you go and sleep in an office, in a clinic, one or two nights, and you are monitored relative to your sleep pattern to see what kind of sleep pattern you have and if you would benefit from a PEP procedure, which means you wear that mask at night and sleep with it. And if you do, you go home and do it. And that may over time change your pattern of sleeping so that you don't have to sleep with the mask after a while, but you do have to do it for maybe a couple months. So might start with that. The other part of it is that you will be given a sleep log. You'll be given a piece of paper to write down what time you go to bed, what time you get up in the morning, and your awakenings during the course of the evening. And you are to record those. And record them pretty accurate so we can see the pattern of your sleep, your actual pattern. Sometimes people think they don't sleep when actually they do. So we try to get some kind of a sleep log to make sure that we can track it, but also as a way to determine if you're making progress when a sleep program is introduced, you know, for you. So after a sleep log is acquired, takes about a week or two of that, then you are educated in the area of what we call stimulus control. Stimulus control is just simply this. There's only certain things you do in your bed, and there are certain things you do not do in your bed. You don't sit there and roll and toss and turn and stay awake all night. You don't do that. You get up in the middle of the night and you go do something else. You work a puzzle. You read a book. You clean your oven. You clean your refrigerator. You sweep the floor. You vacuum. You know, do whatever you can for a half hour and then go back to bed and go to sleep. If you don't go to sleep, you get up again. In about 20 minutes, you get up again and do another series of tasks for about a half hour and then go back to bed. And you do that all night long until you start falling asleep. And what happens if you do that night after night after night after night, most people after about 10 nights begin to sleep, change their sleep pattern. So we call it stimulus control. You don't watch television in bed. You don't eat in bed. You don't read in bed. Bed is for sleeping, and you use it for that purpose. And if you can't sleep, you get out of the bed and you go and do something elsewhere. And then you go up and down all night long, many times, sometimes as many as 10 times a night, up and down until you fall asleep. But you do that for at least a month. But most people find that after about 10 days, they begin a sleeping pattern that's more reasonable, you know, for them. So that's what you do next. Here's another pattern which you do and which a therapist would walk you through. So it's called a sleep restriction. That is, there are certain times of sleep and certain times to be up. You don't sleep during the day. You don't nap during the day. You wait until your bedtime. You go to bed at the same time every night, and you get up in the same time every morning, whether you sleep or not. So there's a definition, there's a pattern of sleep that needs to be established. So you do that. Then what you do then is to begin the process of looking at some of the rules of sleep that you can work out for yourself. Where you sleep, when you sleep, how you sleep. You set up some patterns that you use, you know, for yourself. And begin to follow a pattern every day, every night for sleep, so that your temperature in the room should be on the cool side. So you set the temperature. The room needs to be dark. So you set the tone for that. You set the conditions for that. You don't let a light in the room. Some of these little blue lights of the different devices, electrical devices that we have a little light on them. You turn that light off or you cover it so it doesn't show. Because that can even give you an arousal because of the light that emanates while you're trying to sleep and interferes with sleep. So cut all the light in the room and in the surrounding area, the hallways and so on. Let it be a dark night so that your melatonin, the chemical, the melatonin in your brain can be increased and released and help you sleep. So it's got to be dark. And then what we also want to make sure that you don't have sound or anything like that that's disturbing and distressing, you know, to you. And then make sure, and this is really important, make sure that you do not use any time on the computer up to an hour before going to bed. The computer light is hard to come off of when you've been using the computer during the evening hours and then try to go to sleep. That light stimulates the brain, and it takes a while for that brain to calm down and go into the alpha waves. So what you want to make sure is that you stop computer use at least an hour before bedtime, so that you have sleep patterns that can be now more pure and more genuine and more positive and more helpful to you. Okay? So, insomnia, yeah, you can deal with it. Insomnia, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough. Insomnia, it's disturbing. Yes, it's disturbing. Takes away work time. It'll kill you sooner than otherwise. Makes you more frustrated. Makes you more mad, more angry at night and in the morning when you wake up. Sure, it's a tough thing to do. But you know, there are ways to approach it. But being mad at it is not going to help. Just arguing about it won't help. Being just discouraged about it won't help. Being depressed about it won't help. You have to have an approach to it that will help. And I've just outlined some of the aspects of an approach to a sleep program. Incorporate them. Follow them. 1 month. Don't do it for a couple days. Do it for an entire month. But most people find when you start a program like I've just outlined, after about 10 days that you start improving your sleep patterns. But you got to stick with it. And unfortunately, this is one of these situations that doesn't change rapidly. There's no pill. There's no magic that will change your sleep patterns rapidly. In fact, there's no pill that will really change your sleep patterns. You're going to have to do that by a self-determined program that I've just outlined, you know, for you. But you got to follow it. You got to follow it for a period of time, and I suggest a month. And then in the hopes that you'll be like other people, find that it improves after about 10 days. And then, but you stick with it for at least a month's time. So there you are. That's a sleep problem. It's yours, but the solution is yours as well. Develop the solution along the lines of what I now just suggested. Okay? Anyway, nice to have you with me, and go to my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. I wrote a book in there on stress, achieving and living a healthy lifestyle in a world of stress. And in that book, I have discussed issues of sleep difficulties and sleep problems. So you get some help there too, but you also find some general discussion and some general help in the whole area of health while we live in a world of high stress. So I recommend my book. It's on my website, www.booksbyhedberg.com. It's also on Amazon. You can get it there, or Barnes & Noble, you can get it there. Okay, bye for now.